Greetings this morning in our Savior's precious name. It's a blessing to be with the people of God today. It's been a little while since I've been behind the pulpit, but that's okay. It was good for me to study again, get in the Word of God, study and dig in, and it's good for us always to go there. This morning I've entitled the message, Our Conscience and the Gift of the Holy Ghost. Our conscience and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand as we read the Word. Ephesians chapter 6 is our first one here. Not much here. I'd just like to read the first four verses here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long in the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Turn the Bible to Romans chapter 8 now. Going to be reading the first 17 verses. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son, and in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. You may be seated. As I was looking for a message to preach, I guess often what we face over that time, we tend to kind of lean toward that. In a sense, I find myself that way as I seek for a message, and later in the message today, we will be looking at some of that. Today, I have an object lesson along, and as object lessons are, sometimes they work well, and sometimes you fail with them, but if they fail, that's okay. We're going to do the best we can. I was blessed this morning. Brother Dave, I felt like laid a good foundation, and the Sunday school lesson went well as well. First of all, this morning I'd like to talk to the children, so if the children want to, why don't you come up in the center here and I'll talk to you first. That or up here front, yeah, just come up front. If you want to sit down, you can. Very good. Find room? All right. So we read this morning about children obeying your parents. Did you hear that? Did you catch that? I love talking to children. Children are special to me. Okay, so first of all, I want to bless you for being here. You are very special. You're a part of the church. You're a part of the body, very important part of the body. We love having children here. And it's interesting to me how they say the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. If you'd have known my daddy, you would probably understand why I love children. He loved children deeply. I could tell you a lot of stories about him teasing children, but children love them. So if you're sitting here this morning and you just came up here from your mamas and your daddies, if you were sitting beside a mama and a daddy that fears God, you are a blessed child this morning. Did you know that? You are very fortunate if your mom and daddies love Jesus and serve him. You're very fortunate. Many children today only have one parent that cares about them. Some have none. No parents. Can you imagine how that would be? Having no mama and no daddy that really cares about you? That's hard for us to grasp. Because all of you here this morning have a mama and a daddy that love you, right? That's good. This morning I want to talk about something. I don't know if you caught the message, the title for the message this morning, but I want to talk to you about something, and that is the conscience. And you may be a little bit young, but hopefully the object lesson will help you understand. You know what it means when mom and daddy tell you to do something, right? You're clear on that? You understand that? Mom and daddy give you assignments, tell you to do something, you're clear on that? So God has instilled in every one of us what we call the conscience. Does any of you know what the conscience is? You know what I'm talking about? Any of you? You do? What is it? That's right. It makes you feel bad when you do something bad. So basically, our conscience is there to help us understand between right and wrong. So this morning, if you have a mom and a daddy that are teaching you what right is and what wrong is, you are very fortunate. You are blessed. Okay? Have you ever wondered this morning why your mamas and daddies discipline you or spank you when you're bad? Ever wonder why they spank you? Do you? Nobody wonders. Well, that's good. Okay, I won't go further with that. Your mamas and daddies, I trust, will explain to you why they have disciplined you. And that is good. That is really, really good. Because that lays a wonderful foundation. Not only do they discipline you because they're concerned about your conscience, first of all, they love you deeply and they want the best for you. And they are looking into your future, and that's why they discipline you, okay? Secondly, they're concerned that your conscience is trained properly and right. And the better that you can learn to heed to your conscience, just what he said there about right and wrong and knowing that difference, the easier it's going to be for you down the road. Okay, see if this will work. All right. So, make sure I got the right one here. Okay. So we're going to say this is your conscience this morning, okay? You see that? All right. Now listen when I hit this, okay? Listen when I hit it. You hear that ring? You hear it? Okay. Sound good? Sounds good to your ears, right? Feels good? Okay, all right. Now, let me ask you a question. So there's different things that your mamas and your daddies will ask you. They'll give you assignments, okay? Put the ladies down where I can see it. All right. Let's talk about a little bit of something else here. Okay, your conscience, we talked about that. That's the difference between right and wrong. Paul talks different times. The Apostle Paul talks numerous times. He talks about having a good conscience and taking care of that. And he also talks, the Bible talks about our conscience being seared. And that word seared means it means that you don't sense it anymore. It becomes unsensitive. He also talks about having a conscience void of offense. In other words, that is not infiltrated with bad. Okay, so now I need your help. What are some bad things that, your mom and daddy's asked you to do something and you don't do it? There's some bad things that can happen. What are some bad things that you think would destroy your conscience or go against your conscience? Anybody? Well, they're trying to help your conscience there. So, you think lying would be one? What's another one?
Cheating.
I like that. I had that one. Okay. So we have lying, we have cheating. What else? What do we got?
Being selfish.
Being selfish? I love that. That goes right down with what I've got today. Okay? So we're putting all this stuff in here, okay? Now remember, this is like your conscience. What have you got? Screaming? Yeah, when you're not supposed to scream, you're supposed to be quiet. You're screaming. There you go. That'll work. Any others? What have you got? Kicking, being unkind. I like that. Any others? What have you got?
Stealing.
That's one I had. I like that. Stealing. Okay. Somebody in the back. What have you had? What else?
Biting.
Yeah, that's not a good one. Let's not bite each other. What have you got? Yeah, we had that already. That's good, though. Any others? These napkins are like stealing and biting and kicking. Okay, what have you got?
Fighting.
There you go. That's a good one. Huh? Hitting. Yeah, those are all bad things. Looks like you got the concept. Okay? All right, let's stop with that. Now, I want you to notice something here. So let's listen to what it does now. What do you think it's going to do? You hear it? Does that sound good? Why not? What are the napkins like?
Bad things.
Okay. So that's what happens when you go against your conscience. What about mom and dad tells you, you're supposed to give the chickens water tonight. And you go to get distracted. You do something else and... That's right. But now let's keep going. You don't give the chickens water. That night you're laying in bed and you thought about, I didn't give the chickens water. And you say, they're okay. They're fine. That's like these napkins. Okay. That's what happens when we're bad, okay? It deadens. It deadens our conscience and it makes it not sensitive. So what are we going to do about it? You have a suggestion? What can we do about it? What do you do? Repent? How do we repent? What would you do? Say sorry. There you go. So when we say sorry, we do this. Those things start coming back out again. Okay? We say sorry. We repent. What else? What else do we get rid of? There you go. I like that. Give it back. Stuff we stole, give it back. That's good. There you go. Go fix what you hurt. That's right. Be kind. Okay, now we've got rid of some. Let's see what it does now. Let's listen to what it does now. Let's see what it does. A little bit there. Still not right. Does that sound right? Not quite. Why? Still something in there, right? Let's see what it does. Sure enough, there's another one. Okay, now we get rid of all that. Now what? What do you think it's going to sound like now? What do you think? It's the way it's supposed to be. Take good care of your conscience, okay? Guard it carefully. The more that you can guard your conscience, listen and obey. Right now, you children are responsible to your mamas and your daddies. They are as your conscience. That's what they are right now, and that's what you're responsible for. You can go back to your seats. Shift gears a little bit. The gift of the Holy Ghost. So children, once you get to the ears of accountability and God speaks to you and you hear his voice, then God does something else. Acts 2 verse 38, God refers to as the Holy Ghost as a gift. Acts 10 45, God refers to it again as a gift. Paul does. Today, the word Spirit and the word Holy Ghost are often the same Greek word. So if I say Holy Ghost and I say Spirit today, I'm meaning the same thing. Today, I believe for myself, I could be more sensitive to the Spirit's work in my life. And I understand this morning that we, as older ones, have grown up in a time and in an era, we don't see that as much anymore, but we've grown up in an era of time where there was a group of people that were very strong on the Spirit told me this, and the Spirit told me that, and the Spirit made me do this. Well, I want to be clear this morning. Romans 8, 14, let's look at that. Let's turn to Romans again. Romans 8, 14. Says like this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's Spirit this morning will always coincide and agree with the Word of God. We need to be clear with that. And I don't hear near as much of that type of belief as I did it one day, but I remember stories of people that were doing things that were just off of the wall. And it was like, it did not jive with your spirit when you heard it because you knew the Word of God did not endorse such actions. So the Spirit of God this morning will always complement the Word of God. They will complement each other. They will agree. And I think that needs to be clear in our minds. This morning we talked to the children here about being sensitive to the conscience. But I believe it's just as important, and even maybe more important, that we are sensitive to the Spirit of God. I personally feel like I could grow in that. I feel like I could do better in that. We talked about it in Sunday school, how sometimes we just simply go our own way. We use our own senses. We use our own knowledge instead of really seeking the Lord's face and listening to the Spirit of God and seeing what he has to say. Instead, we have it figured out. Then we go our own way, and then all of a sudden God, where are you? When really we should have stopped and listened to the voice of God the first time. Time will not allow us to go into details of this, talking about the Spirit. I realized once I got into the subject that I am only scratching around on the surface, and I trust today that it will only whet your appetite to look into it more. Romans 8, 16. Let's look at that verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness our spirit that we are the children of God. That verse has become a very dear verse to me, and especially in times when I am not sure about something. Beloved, this morning I believe we do good to listen to the Spirit of God speaking into our lives. We do well to listen to it. I ask the question, do we give enough heed to this? Recently, the other day I had an experience. It talks in, I think it's in John 14, 26, about how the Comforter will come and teach us all things, something to that extent. I won't turn to that. The other day, I had something happen to me that I always thought that I wouldn't want happen, but it did. And the reality is, when those things happen, it's truth and reality, and you and I have to adjust. Because the truth and reality is not going to adjust. Once it's done, it's done. But So where I work, I do all kinds of different things, anything from skid steer to dozer to dump truck. So the other day I was in a dump truck. My boss had made a new lane into a new site to build a house. And as he does, he takes the red dirt from underneath and he packs the lane in there. And of course, we had all this rain, and sometimes he did just what he did the other day. He didn't put a culvert in. There was a valley coming down through there, not a deep valley, but he had not put the culvert in. So I back up in there carefully. Well, he told me to go around past, drive out, and back up in there. Well, the fellow that was with me didn't understand me, so he drove in, and he got through fine. Well, I was backing in there trying to watch very closely how I back, and I got a little bit too far to my right, and it started sinking. And I thought, ooh, this doesn't feel good. So I put it in forward, and I gunned it, and I walked out of it. And I was glad I got out of it. I thought, I don't want to go that side because I'm going to roll that thing over down over the bank that side if it gives way. So I crowd it to the left side, and I back up in there. And here the water had puddled above because he doesn't have his culvert in there yet. And so it had soaked underneath there. And it looked a little bit wet, and I thought to myself, well, it looks a little wet, and I thought I felt it start spinning, and I thought, well, I'll gun it, and I'll get through it. And I gunned it, and about the time I gunned it, she fell away, and off to the side she went, about 2 feet, 2 to 3 feet off to the side and down in there, and I felt the front tire of that truck come off the ground and settle back down. That's how close I laid it on its side. I sat there for a minute. I opened the door, and then I made one loud, big dash out that door. I didn't spend any time between the door and the bank. I got away because I was holding my breath that it would stay there. I carefully walked back, closed the door, and shut the truck off. Called my boss, and I told him, I said, I was feeling bad. And I told him, I said, I'm going to apologize right up front. I said, I just about laid your dump truck on the side. I said, I am stuck bad. He was very nice. He said, well, things happen. And he said, I'll be right over. He come in there, and he was halfway chuckling when he walked in the drive, which blessed me tremendously. Halfway chuckling, he said, well, he said, it looks a whole lot better than what I had anticipated it would. So I was glad for that. And I will say I was blessed. His response was tremendously good through it all. But in all of that, I was wrestling, and I was struggling with this thing. Why did this have to happen to me? I was careful. I wasn't trying. Well, all of a sudden, the Spirit started working. One of the fellows I work with, Josh, he's not here today that I see, and he walked up and he said, it's okay, Leon. It's all right. He saw I was just beating myself for doing this. He said, it's okay. It's all right. Things happen. It's okay. And all of a sudden, the Spirit started speaking. It's like, okay, Leon, this is your problem. Lay your pride down. It happens. It's okay. You see, the Spirit of God always takes us where we need to go. I needed that Spirit working in my life to humble me to the place that I could just accept it. It's okay. It's all right. I didn't try it. The other day, I was hauling off the grindings from where they're digging underneath the Yellow Creek up here in 149. Just another way the Spirit works. I walked up to the fellow walking up the lane, and I tried to greet him with a nice, friendly good morning. He barely cracks a smile, and I'm not going to repeat what he said, but basically, it's just another horrible day. And there was something in my spirit that said, whoa, 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 it's better than that. Recently, last week, I had a man tell me, well, I'm here, I'm alive, or something like that. I said, surely, I said, it's better than that. Surely. Those things don't ring with the Spirit of God. They don't. And I think we do good to heed to that. The other day, young fellow working there, I worked with a holiness fellow. So we had a little bit of time on our hands. We were waiting on something to come back to where we were working there. And so I started asking him questions, 17-year-old. And I complimented him. I said, we've really appreciated your modesty. And he starts sharing how they believe. And so we come to the thing of speaking in tongues. He said, yeah. Well, he said, yeah, we speak in tongues. But he said, that's not our, that's the Lord's work. It's not our work. And my spirit was like, whoa. Well, we'll leave that.
They have a lot to appreciate. But you see, the Spirit of God should always direct us to coincide with the Word of God. It should always do that. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 has some good instructions for us. Let's turn to that. Let's see what it says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says like this. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that ye would. There is a spiritual battle. Brother Dave, this morning I appreciated your story about the Indian. The wolf that we feed grows. There is a spiritual battle going on within us. And that spiritual battle is often the spirit and the flesh. That is a battle that rages within us. Let's make sure that we feed the right one. Too many times my flesh gets in the way of the Spirit doing its work. Too many times that's what happens to me. I'm just sharing from experience, my own experience. It gets in the way, just as it says here. Something I like to consider here is how should the heeding of the Spirit's work, or how should the heeding of the Spirit work when making decisions? So often we face decisions, and many times, sometimes there's multiple things we could choose. So we're facing a hard decision, and sometimes I believe for myself, I complicate those decisions because I'm not honest. I'm just sharing my own experience. I'm not truly honest with the Spirit. So we have, let's say we have a decision here to make, and there's two choices to make. And so we have this again. And we have this. So we have two. But we have just a little bit of self that gets in the way. Just a little bit of self. We heard about that. I was blessed how the children talked about self. That's so true. So we've just a little bit of self that gets in our way. So we're making a decision, and it's a difficult decision. And so we're trying to decide, should I, shouldn't I? Is this a wise thing? I'm in the store, and I'm wanting to buy something, but I'm not sure. Is it wise or is it unwise? I'm buying the vehicle. I'm making a big purchase. I'm making a decision, but I'm not sure. Is this what I should do or shouldn't do? And so here we sit, and you go, that's clear. Not quite. So we play with it, and until play with it. Just a little more ring. See, there's just a little bit of difference there. But I want to do this. This is really what I want to do. It's really what my flesh wants to do. There's still a ring there, right? A little bit. That's clear. If we are really, really honest many, many times, and we would take notice, we know which one is clear. But too many times, our flesh wants the other. So we wrestle between the two, and we fight, and we go on between the two, trying to make a decision. Too many times I want to make my decision based off of my own personal knowledge and what I know, instead of really allowing God to speak into my decision. I want to step ahead. I want what I want. Let's just be honest. We are selfish by nature. I want what I want. And so we almost can make that other pipe ring loud. In our minds, we can justify it. We make excuses to make it justify, to be right, so we can have what we want. I'm speaking to myself, beloved. I'm speaking to myself. But many times, if we are willing and we listen carefully, the ring is clear. It's clear. The Word of God is clear.
Romans 8, 14, let's turn back to that, says like this.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, notice what he said, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit leads. The Spirit gives direction. And here I'm going to share something. The other night I was at the brethren's meeting, and I just observed this, and it blessed me to see that. So we were trying to discuss and make a decision there. And one of the brethren spoke up and they said, well, it was on this issue of how to confront our bills at the hospitals. And one of the brethren spoke up and they said, well, he could not conscientiously, clearly approach it that way. And I was getting this message ready and I thought to myself, that's what I'm looking for. So right there, children, I said, the conscience, take care of it. That conscience, your mamas and your daddies still have those. I still have it. I still need it. And it still needs to be at work. Us older men and ladies, we still need it to direct us and to guide us and to help us. But on top of that, we have the Spirit of God to help us live it out. Praise God for that. So I saw that man the other night. He said, conscientiously, I could not approach it that way. That told me that he has a conscience and that the Spirit is at work. And that to me blesses me that the child of God has both. I love that. When you and I are sincere about serving the Lord and it don't ring clear, it probably isn't clear. When we are genuinely, sincerely seeking the Lord's face, and it isn't clear, most likely, the Spirit doesn't ring clear, most likely it isn't clear. Obviously, very obviously, there's going to be something there. I need to bring this to a close. Turn our Bibles to 1 John 4, verse 1. I believe that's where it is. Might be the Epistle of John. I'm not sure. I might have that reference wrong. It is 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Here he calls us to try the spirits, and I think that is wise counsel. Is it ringing clear? Does it have a clear ring? Does it sound the way it's supposed to? Does it have, when you're looking at a decision, when you're looking at life, and when you're trying to find the right way, does it ring clear? Does it sound right? When it rings clear and it sounds right, most likely it will be right if you're seeking the Lord's face truly. It most likely will be right. That is also where it's a blessing to be part of a body. When I'm not sure, I have brothers and I have sisters that I can go to and I can ask them, give us direction. What a blessing. The Bible also talks about quench not. 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit. Four words, quench not the Spirit. I've been guilty of this. I have been guilty of this very thing. Right now, I can speak freely because Josh isn't here, and I could say it if he wasn't here, but there's a young man right now that is laying on my heart at work. This young man has not had the chance that these children have had. But this young man, everybody at work pretty much, I haven't faced it as much, but there is a lot of the men at work that struggle with this young man. He doesn't think before he does stuff. And he will do some off-of-the-wall stuff that it's just like, what were you thinking? What were you doing? But he told me one day that he was pushed out of his home. His mom and daddy divorced. He's had a pretty rough upbringing. God's been laying it on my heart to take him aside and just let him know that regardless of how he's treated at work, regardless of where he's been, that does not change who he is in God's eyes. When the Spirit prompts you, don't quench it. Do something. Who is to know that if you heed the Spirit's call on your life to touch a brother, a sister, somebody else on their back, who is to know that when your spirit is ringing clear and you heed that voice, he wants to use your clear spirit to help another spirit ring clear. But if we quench that, it's not going to happen. Somebody else has to do it. Let's not quench the Spirit. Let the Spirit have its work. I've been guilty of that. Maybe there's a soul out there that their pipe is ringing dull and there's something there and they just need somebody to walk alongside and help them and show them the way. God help us. May God help us to have our consciences void of offense, like Paul says, and his Spirit have free course in our lives. Let's kneel and pray.